We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to the Spiegel and Parkin Show.
Now baseball becomes what it is in the playoffs. Very cruel.
It's game five of the National League Division Series.
So I'm able to, like, enjoy it. You seem to be an actual pain.
Yeah, I want to throw up the entire time.
Taylor hits a high fly ball deep left field. Three-run home run.
There's nothing like the tension and suspense.
To Russell, he hits a ground ball fair. Contreras will score. Zobrist coming around third. Cubs lead.
Every pitch is terrifying.
Turns one toward left field, coming in as Worth, and he's going to slide and miss the ball. It goes all the way to the wall. The Cubs are going to get a run.
I love the tension.
So do I.
Because it's delicious.
It's a line drive toward the middle. That's a base hit to center field. It's a one-run ball game.
Every inning is just a death march.
Swing and a miss. Strike three, and the Cubs win it. The Cubs are in the league championship series.
Matt Spiegel. Danny Parkins.
Cry, barf, die.
Middays on the Score.
Remember when I said I was calm during Cubs games because they won the World Series last year? I lied. I have no idea what the hell happened last night or how they won that game.
Fiction.
But I'm glad they did.
There's no way that happened. I do not believe for a moment that everything I seem to remember about that baseball game actually happened in that baseball game.
It's such a crazy headspace for Cubs fans to operate in, where now it's like, all of those good things happened to the Cubs? All of those breaks went the Cubs' way?
At a certain point in history, like, Chicago became the cursed baseball franchise, right? And the Red Sox became the cursed baseball franchise. And, you know, these things have to shift at a certain point, and another city inherits the mantle of either cursed or downtrodden or just screwed, just full of stupid events. And that's Washington. I mean,
I guess
our kids are going to grow up thinking that Washington, D.C. is where sports dreams go to die. And that's what's happened to them since, you know, 78 for the Washington Bullets and the Joe Gibbs Redskins. Ever since then, these kind of things happen to the Nationals, not to the Cubs anymore. It's crazy.
I mean, four runs by Max Scherzer in his one inning of bullpen work on 2 days rest.
An inning that has never happened before.
Right.
In 2.73 million half innings on the baseball reference database, those four things, the intentional walk, pass ball, strikeout, catcher's interference, hit batsman, those four, it's never happened in a single half inning, let alone in a row. It's insanity.
How about this? These were the scoring plays for the Cubs as they got to nine runs. Rizzo ground out, Russell ground out, Contreras scoring on a wild pitch.
Juggernaut.
Russell double.
Well.
Baez struck out swinging, safe at first, pass ball, Russell scored, Hayward to third, Baez to second on throwing error by Wieters.
That's one play?
That's a play. John Jay hit by pitch, Russell double.
Oh, God.
Bryant grounded into fielder's choice. Nine runs. Nine runs were the only two times they really knocked the ball in, two doubles.
From Russell.
Two doubles from Russell.
And everything else was
hit by pitch.
A Nationals occurrence.
Pitch, error, fielder's choice, ground ball.
Jason Worth trying to make a sliding catch and having it go right through him. I mean, it's just the list of compelling, complex, emotional baseball moments and things to dissect is standing at what, 60? 70?
Oh, it's out of control. Out of control. Jay Zawoski, you look like 5 to 10 pounds lighter. How many times did you throw up last night?
Several. No, I had the reflux going big time. I was snacking on Swedish fish and tortilla chips with no salsa, which is a bad mix. So I got the instant heartburn, and it was just a bad night.
Oh, nothing like the little gummy corn chip combo.
They're actually Scandinavian swimmers. That's the Trader Joe's equivalent of Swedish fish. But so early, the Nationals get ahead, and I say, okay, well, you know, this isn't the year. So I sort of move on. Then the Cubs take a big lead. Well, they're up big, so it's in the bag. Mm. No. I thought the night was going to be easy. One way or the other, it was not.
No.
It was horrifying.
Just freaking ridiculous.
And then as Bryce Harper is up for the last at bat of the game, my daughter wakes up and is crying in her bed. So Hope and I have one foot on the stairs and two eyes on the TV, like, okay, we're coming. we'll be right up. Yeah. And then
she's in therapy in 15 years.
Davis strikes me out. We both scream, yes.
My carbon monoxide alarm went off, and I just took it off the wall and unplugged the batteries. So I'm like, there's no way I'm going to get poisoned tonight. I'll deal with this tomorrow.
That is exactly how this series was supposed to end. And as I typed that and realized that last night, I knew Wade Davis was going to shut it down. He's the man. It's just ridiculous. But that was supposed to be Wade Davis versus Bryce Harper in a one-run game in the ninth inning. I mean, that's exactly how it's supposed to finish.
I guess. I don't know if there was anything that was supposed to.
Just that moment. I think that moment is it.
Okay,
that's fine. That was the final clash, and we saw who the man is. That's the guy right there.
I mean, he's out of control. He's a cyborg. He is in the conversation for greatest relief pitchers in the history of baseball. And when he came in the seventh inning, with one out to go in that inning, so needing seven outs for the save, never had more than a three out save this year. 34 pitches is his high. I'm thinking to myself, Joe's going high leverage. Get out of the seventh, use him for the heart of the order in the eighth, and he's going to have to figure out something for the ninth.
So was I. John Lackey on the mind, rearing back and not worrying about nine innings, worrying about one.
I was thinking Lester. Lester said before the game, it was reported that he gave Joe the fist bump and that he was willing to go if need
be. Got one inning. So maybe Lester for one of the lefties, Lester for Harper or Murphy if you needed it, that kind of thing. Yeah, those things are in your mind.
Yeah.
But it's Wade Davis asked to be Goose Gossage or Bruce Sutter as the cycle of baseball comes back around, as it always does. And that was a 1977 kind of save last night.
Listen, I saw Wade Davis send the Royals to their second straight World Series in the ALCS. And at the time I said it was the most impressive thing I'd ever seen a relief pitcher do.
So that's the game you were at. I was thinking of it last night because those two events, what Wade Davis did last night with a seven out save and what he did in the game, I think you're talking about with an inning pitched on each end of a rain delay.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, with the Royals needing to bat and take the lead in the bottom of the eighth. So it was a 45-minute rain delay, but a full hour between when he did top of eight and top of nine.
A full hour between innings of a two-inning appearance to send his team to the World Series. Those two things.
Last out, by the way, Josh Donaldson in his 2015 season. Last night, Bryce Harper, his last out in this season. He's out. And so I don't even know, like, I'd love to ask him which one was more physically taxing, because he said last night he was super drained, and he said similar things the rain delay.
It's not like he was on for all seven outs last night.
No, not at all.
He was walking everybody.
There were guys on base in the one in 2015.
He just finishes when he must.
He's amazing. He is an amazing player. And I don't know if, you know, Ricketts in the moment is calling him the MVP of the team, but I will say this. I agree with him when he's like, I don't know where the Cubs would be without him. Because look at the questions that you have in their bullpen. Look at the guys that you don't trust. Look at what Joe needed to do to figure out a way, somehow, some way, to get through that series. Wade Davis is the only guy that you trust. And so he was like, seven outs with Wade Davis. That's what
guy.
It has to be. If I'm going to lose with a relief pitcher on the mound, I'm losing with Wade Davis.
Ride or die with Wade Davis. I get it. I mean, we talked with Len Casper yesterday. I was saying six outs from Wade Davis. All right, it was seven, but he only had to get six because New York gave the Cubs that pickoff by Wilson Contreras. I mean, I know when they synced up the two replays as TBS did, you could kind of tell he was out, but there was not definitive stuff to me. Maybe they had another angle. Sometimes they have other angles. That's what we've heard. But either way, Wade had to get six outs, not seven, that was huge to help him with that.
Listen, I don't want to make the whole show about that because, you know what I mean? Like,
because there's 59 other moments to talk about.
Right, but that's an unintended consequence of instant replay.
Absolutely.
And it's really dumb.
A lot of those plays.
And it was a huge break for the Cubs, and there were a ton of huge breaks for the Cubs. I still don't really fully understand how they won that game, but instant replay was instituted not for us to parse things frame by frame by frame. It was to get egregiously wrong calls correct. And so that guy has been safe for the last 150 years of baseball.
Sure.
And that guy is safe at every other level of baseball today except the major leagues. Like, the only way you call that guy out is because you can parse it frame by frame and zoom in and take a front camera angle and a back camera angle. And I just don't believe that's what technology was meant to do for the sport.
Yeah, but that's the price of doing business. It's the price of doing business, and I'll take it. I mean, think about how many times we've seen a beautiful tag or an incredible steal, and we've said, you know what? He deserves that. So if this is the price of doing business, that you get stuff like that called in a big game that goes against the team, I just wish it was definitive. I couldn't have overturned that if I'm sitting in New York, if those are the angles that I saw.
And I just don't have a solution to that problem, and I think that overall instant replay is clearly a net positive for the sport, but it's an unintended consequence.
For sure.
They didn't write the rules so that you could see by one frame a leg pop up slightly. Like, I just don't like it, but it's happened to plenty of teams on both sides, and it was one of many breaks.
Back to the beauty of Wade Davis. That final pitch was as perfect a pitch as you could possibly throw. He's throwing two different kinds of fastballs by then. He's throwing the two-seamer that fades away. He's throwing the four-seamer, and he sets up that exact pitch tunnel, that exact spot to look like here comes another fastball, and instead it dies perfectly into that bottom corner where Bryce Harper can't do a thing with it. That was an unbelievably perfect pitch. We've talked about Kyle Hendricks' blood pressure. Does Wade Davis have blood?
I told you, man. I said Hendricks doesn't have the same stuff as Wade Davis, but they have the same mentality. Wade Davis is just a little bit more of a badass. Like, he... We're going to have Andy McCullough on, who's the best baseball beat writer in the country, and he covers it for the LA Dodgers. He wrote this piece on Wade Davis before, how he will toy with hitters based on the scouting report. Oh, they like a fastball away. I'll throw a fastball away on the first pitch, get them for a strike, they're down 0-1, and then they're chasing the rest of the at-bat because I'm never going to throw them another pitch that they like the rest of the at-bat. He is just a cold-blooded assassin.
Usually has the pinpoint control to not put one right over the heart of the plate, like it did to Michael Taylor in Game 4. Usually doesn't put them right there. But, my God, just unbelievable. There's so much to dissect. You want to quibble with Joe Maddon decisions? Go for it. Let's discuss. I didn't like a lot of stuff that worked.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff I didn't like that absolutely worked. There's stuff I did like that didn't work. There's a million freaking things to talk about. We can do all of it.
312-644-6767. We're basically guest-free for the first 2 hours, unless anyone who was on that flight returns our calls and texts, because we want stories from what that party was like. Rich Campbell at 11, Jonah Carey at 1140, and Andy McCullough on Cubs and Dodgers at noon. Tune in every Monday to Built Ford Tough. Bears Monday, brought to you by your local Ford stores. The Rundown, brought to you by Jimmy John's. Freaky fast, freaky fresh. Jimmy John's makes fresh, fast, tasty sandwiches. Homemade bread is served freshly baked, and locally purchased veggies and all natural meats are hand sliced daily. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet. The guys have done an amazing job today. I'm sure most of us went to bed as soon as the game ended. We have all of the best post-game audio from last night. Your voicemails were amazing. We'll take your live calls. We've got great audio. We've got tears from D.C. of fans leaving the stadium. So just hang out with us for the next 4 hours, because we don't exactly know where it's going, kind of like that game, but it's going to be a fun show.
And some of the most difficult roster decisions and start decisions for this weekend as the Cubs do move forward.
Eventually, we will look ahead to Cubs and Dodgers. I'm not quite ready to go there with you yet off of one of the craziest sporting events I've ever watched, but yes, we will get there as well. It is Spiegel and Parkins on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This is a series of bad events. You know, then the eighth, we were threatening. And then Lobe, he was safe, but then he came off the bag. It was just a like I said, a series of bad events.
Dusty Baker, my God.
Lemony Snickets.
A series of bad events.
I watched 4 minutes of Dusty postgame this morning.
Wow.
And actually felt sad for the man.
Really?
I don't expect a lot of others to, but like the point was like towards the end, he's like, they're like, does this one hurt? Especially because you're as prepared as a team, as good of a team, as armed as you've ever been. Yeah.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it sucks not to go West LA to see my family. He's got family out there.
Oh, God.
Yeah, his family was all ready.
I want to see my grandkids.
The former Dodger.
Darren's right? All grown up. He's got a condo on the West Coast.
He does have all the time in the world to see his family.
Yeah, right. He could probably afford a first-class ticket, West.
That game's not on Dusty Baker to me at all.
No, are you kidding?
You can point to the Jason Hayward intentional walk if you want, but then Scherzer struck out Baez. Baez has no chance against Scherzer, so he just, it's not like he made him throw four pitches. Hayward goes over and he strikes out Baez. Matt Wieters crapped the bed that entire inning.
Wieters called it the worst defensive game he's ever played.
At any level of his life.
There were lots of decisions that needed to be made in that game, but that was one of the most unconventional baseball games that you or I have ever seen. That game is not on a manager. Like, I have a very high threshold for when I will put a game on a manager in baseball. Come on. Joe Maddon looked like, when he was looking at his lineup card, he looked like he was looking at a list of his dead relatives and how they had died, with pictures of them deceased and decayed.
Wow, well,
he had nothing to go to.
I sure do miss Grandpa.
Yeah,
I hate being reminded of how he went out.
I got Lackey in the pen. Nana died of an overdose. This is weird. Like he looked.
Who put this picture of my dead Nana on this sheet?
Right, I didn't see that coming. I was looking for the index with our proprietary information. Like, it was out of control, that baseball game. That game is not on. Like, listen, and I thought some of the stuff that Joe did was crazy. There were obviously some weird decisions in that game. But that game does not come down to a managerial decision. That comes down to players.
And not even Dusty.
Not even Dusty.
I know a lot of our Dusty bloodlust is massive, but that's on the players for just falling apart.
That Dusty audio, by the way, brought to you by Dell. Need help finding the right Dell PCs with Intel Core processors for your business? Call 877-BUY-DELL to talk to a Dell small business tech advisor. It was – I don't feel bad for him. And I don't feel bad for the Cubs getting a few like unbelievably lucky breaks. I just don't really understand how they won. Like, how do you score 8 runs in 4 games leading into it, bat 159 for the series heading in,
and then score nine without a home run?
Without a home run, with only 2 of them really being driven in on the 2 doubles, 2 scoring plays, 3 of the runs. Like, I don't really understand how that game happened, and I could probably rewatch it 5 times and never still fully come to grips with it.
A lot of individual Nationals having brutal, brutal moments, and then that stuff happening to Max Scherzer, which is just insane. All right, the one Maddon thing that kept driving me crazy, when is he going to use Quintana? And not having Quintana start an inning, like, I wanted Quintana early. When he went to Dunsing, I'm like, why isn't he going to Quintana here? But then that worked. Dunsing and Strope worked to get out of it. He ended up using Quintana in the middle of an inning, which he'd never done, and for only 12 pitches, I believe. And that loomed as like, oh my God, we're going to look back on this and say that was a weapon that didn't get used properly or get used enough. They end up surviving because Davis is the man. But I didn't like how Quintana ended up getting utilized. And now as it stands, and I don't think game one was in their mind at all, but Quintana is available for game one.
Right. Quintana's available for game one because he only ended up throwing 12 pitches last night. Obviously, Lackey's available. Lester, I'm sure, will be at least considered because he's John Lester, but he threw 55 pitches on Wednesday. So strikes me as a little bit more than his normal bullpen session and side session to turn around and start Saturday.
It's 15 more pitches than a normal side session, but they were all much more high pressure, of course.
Exactly, with a celebration in the middle and a cross-country flight in the middle. Multiple flights.
I go Lackey game one. That's me. I go Lackey game one. He has a great record in Dodger Stadium, great pitcher's ballpark. They're going Kershaw, of course. I go Lackey game one, and then if Lester's ready, I go Lester game two. They might go Quintana. In which case, you'd come home with Lester Hendricks Arrieta or Lester Arrieta Hendricks at home for 3 games in the middle of the week. That feels pretty good.
Uh, I
I go Lackey.
You know I don't trust Lackey. I'm not going to sign off on John Lackey. If Jose Quintana is ready and that was only 12 pitches, I will throw Jose Quintana in that game and get Lester in game two, and I will skip John Lackey. Even though I know he was good in September, some of it was on luck and smoke and mirrors and all that. I personally don't trust John Lackey, but I know that cognitively that's not the smartest thing to say. I'm just telling you as a Cubs fan.
No, I understand, man.
I do not feel good with John Lackey getting the ball against Clayton Kershaw in game one. Now, you can make an argument to me that you're punting game one.
Who do you feel good against Clayton Kershaw with in game one? You're either going to get to him or not.
Right. Kershaw has been somewhat more mortal this year than in other years, even though he had a 2.3 ERA. He gave up a career high in home runs. He's got a playoff ERA in the seventh inning of 25.
Think about what Dodger Stadium is. It's tough to homer in Dodger Stadium. It's good for pitchers. John Lackey in seven career games has allowed an OPS of 576 in his career. And the way he pitched in the second half and to finish, now fully rested, I go Lackey game one.
I want Quintana if he's up for it, but they'll know better than I. I expect it to be Lackey, but I'm hoping for Quintana.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Thank you, Joe Ostrowski. This segment brought to you by The Private Bank, now CIBC. The Private Bank is now CIBC. Their name may have changed, but their commitment to your business is now stronger than ever. Visit CIBC.com/us, member FDIC. Rich Campbell in 90 minutes. Andy McCullough on Cubs and Dodgers at noon. Your voicemails at 10 o'clock. Apparently, there was some glory in there. We will look more ahead to the Dodgers series, but there was just so much there last night. I want to do more on that. 312-644-6767. Speaks, pick your call. There's a lot of them that look good up there.
How about Steven Palatine? Let's talk about Wade Davis and the usage from Joe Maddon last night.
Go ahead, Steve. You're on the score.
Yeah, hi, Speaks. I kind of agree with you that he did not use his weapons nearly enough last night. You know, I feel like, to me, it's inarguable that Maddon, as far as I'm concerned, at the 11th hour, he got us there last year, and then he blew it in game seven. He did, with the way he used Chapman, and then the Cubs' talent and guile and everything kind of overcame, and, you know, everybody lived happily ever after. But instead of learning from that experience and changing the way he uses his weapons, he takes Strope out when he looked strong yesterday. Then, as you said, he uses Quintana for only 12 pitches, which is inexcusable.
Strope,
and he's doing it again, and we've hopefully got two more series to go, and he's already just exhausting. I mean, Davis got that last out just on guts and knowledge. There was nothing left in the tank. And we've got two more series to go. And he could have used Quintana longer.
I think he could have used Quintana longer had he found another spot. I don't agree on not pulling Strope. The major crime of that inning is Strope walking Jason Wirth with a four-run lead and nobody on and Bryce Harper on deck.
Can't do it.
Absolutely
Can't
awful.
Do it.
Absolutely awful. And then he decides he's got to go to a lefty against Harper, which I'm not going to question anymore.
Right.
We have seen Bryce Harper is back to being Bryce Harper by last night at the plate.
I agree.
He was terrifying.
And listen, you said, you know, there was Edwards getting into that game. We both said that we couldn't sign off on it. He did. He one walk immediately pulled. Edwards terrifies me going forward.
Absolutely does. You know what? I would have rather seen John Lackey in that spot than C.J. Edwards. But I said that yesterday, that I didn't want to see Edwards in any shape last night. So I would have rather seen Lackey there. At least he only let Edwards walk one guy.
Right. So we're improving. It was two the game before and then one there. I don't know what spot you could possibly trust Edwards in. He pitches in every game in that series, and now it was two good and three bad. Hendricks batting. The last at bat for Hendricks.
Absolutely.
When you weren't, because, yeah, he had settled down a little bit, but when you're going to then pull him as quickly as he did for Dunsing later, it's not like Hendricks all of a sudden was going to go three more innings
and
you're losing at that point. To waste an out with, I think, 17 outs to go in the game when you're down like that, That just didn't make any sense. You know, if you were going to go three more innings with Hendricks because you felt like you had nobody and Quintana wasn't available and all of that, fine, I can talk myself into it. But if you're going to have that quick of a hook on him after that, I don't understand how Hendricks gets an at-bat when you're trailing.
Again, this is baseball, right? We liked some stuff that didn't work. We didn't like some stuff that did work.
Yeah.
Right there is where I would have pinch hit for Hendricks against Matt Albers, because it's Matt Albers. It's not Scherzer yet. It's right. Not Doolittle. It's Matt.
There's one out, but you get to turn over the order, and right. John Jay has been having great at bats. John Jay, by the way, very underappreciated.
Absolutely. But like your opportunity to have an at bat of whichever lefty you want at that point against Matt Albers is something I would have taken and then started the next inning with Quintana. That's why I was wondering, why is Dunsing up? I mean, Dunsing had a great year, but still in that spot, clean inning, I was ready to see Quintana. But then again, I mean, look, obviously everything worked.
I feel like, kind of. I mean, they gave up plenty of runs. I don't know if everything worked, but I feel like I think he was trying to get through that game without using Quintana. I'm not saying that he was necessarily thinking about game one, but letting Hendricks bat suggested to me that he was thinking that Hendricks was going to go multiple more innings,
and then he'd
only be able to use the middle relief or the late inning relief to get to Wade Davis.
It could be, and I would not enjoy it if game one was part of his thought process on not using Quintana. If not using Quintana in a relief spot, like in the middle of an inning, was a concern, I get that because he's never done it, but that's when he ended up having to use him anyway.
And then he used him there anyway.
He had to use him there anyway because Justin Wilson is not a useful human. He can't. I know we're going to wait. We'll talk future, but I don't know how he's on the roster.
No, listen.
How the hell is he on the roster?
You talk future as much as you want. Yeah. I'm still reveling in last night.
If Justin Wilson, I mean, there's no spot for him to pitch. There's no spot. So, I mean, there's unless you're down five. So you're going to wait for that?
Right. I mean, if you're not, I'm with you. I wonder if that was a Theo call. Because Theo said...
To put him on,
absolutely. And he trusts him, and Theo clearly trusts him more than Joe does.
Rattled off those Daniel Murphy numbers awfully quickly when we talked to him.
Right.
He's steaming after the game, after game two. We don't know for sure whether it's about that, about possibility of using Wilson, but Joe doesn't trust him, won't use him, and if that's the case, then don't make Joe have him.
James in Peoria is on the Spiegel and Parkins show. Good morning, James.
Hello.
James, you there?
Hello.
Oh, yes, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, go.
Okay, so yeah. So for me, the key to the game yesterday, the biggest hit of the series, was Addison Russell's double on Max Scherzer. Because, I mean, in that inning, you had the single by Contreras, you know, that was barely like a soft single by Zobrist, and then you finally hammered this guy down the line, and that was a huge stamp on the game. And for me, if we have him healthy, Russell healthy, the Cubs have not lost the playoff series. So
he had great at bats the whole series, honestly, and then he finally broke through yesterday. He should have had a home run in game four. Like, I mean, Russell looks great at the plate offensively.
Completely different guy than he was all year long.
Yeah, he looks fantastic. He's barreling up the ball even on his outs. He's working counts.
He's controlling the at bat.
Yeah, he's not an automatic out with two strikes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, put the ball in play, the grounder for the what? That was the second run in the third, and then obviously the two doubles, including the one on Scherzer.
Yeah, the Scherzer double is massive because there hadn't been anything. There barely was anything hit hard against Scherzer to begin with, but he got that done. Huge, massive offensive moment.
So we have plenty more. I mean, listen, there's 100 different directions that people want to go with their calls. It's ridiculous.
You said that when Madden is looking at his lineup card, it looked like he was looking at a list of his dead relatives with pictures of how they passed.
Yeah, I was like, look at this face. You never see that from Joe Madden.
Texter says, last night my girlfriend says, Joe Madden is looking at his lineup card like I look in the fridge at 2 a.m. expecting something new to appear.
Yeah.
All right, let me look one more time.
Yeah.
Is there a pudding? Did I forget a pudding that's in the back there somewhere?
Is there an ice cream somewhere? Is there something that I can do? Is there any half-baked? Because I'm fully baked, so maybe this will come out.
Some leftover pizza that's still good. Is there something? No, just Justin Wilson in this fridge. Screw it, I'm going to bed.
Your voicemails in 20 minutes. More reaction to the madness next on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Pressure bust pipes, you know, and we've seen, you know, we saw a lot of poopy pants.
Did you see some poopy pants?
We saw a lot of poopy pants on both sides of the ball, and somebody had to win the poopy pants game, and, the Cubbies ended up doing that.
The stylings of Jimmy Rollins on TBS. He called it the poopy pants game.
That is, somebody's got to win the poopy pants game. That's some clear-eyed, honest analysis, right? That is some nonpartisan analysis of what went on. Because a lot of people playing under pressure last night made
a
lot.
You saw a lot of poopy pants.
Right? A lot of poopy pants. Somebody's got to win the poopy pants game.
Because I even recoiled a little bit when you came in and said, what a great game. Like, it was just... It was just weird. Like, it was chaotic, and it was fun, and it was all time, and you'll remember it, and it was a classic.
But seeing people not rise to the moment while some do is part of what makes baseball great to me.
And sports.
Yes, for sure. There just is so much time and so many individual clashes and moments and opportunities for people to rise or not.
Yeah.
You get a lot of failure. And the game is built on failure, right? There's so much failure in it inherently. So I feel like there's more during the course of a game, especially one that long and that chaotic. But
what do you think we'll refer to it as? Is it the Wade Davis game? How do we remember it? Because history doesn't do well with games like that in terms of context and remembering all of the details and the machinations of it.
My guess
is it's the 7-out save game.
It's going to be a big part of it, that's for sure. I think the latest in the series of Nationals collapses. I think it'll be remembered more as a Nationals collapse than
series
Cubs find
of,
a way.
A bad event.
Thank
you, Campy.
The
Lemony Snicket game. The Lemony Snicket Dusty Baker game.
All right, yeah, sure. I'm talking about it from the Cubs perspective.
The Cubs
perspective. It's Wade Davis's signature moment in his one season as a Cub.
Yes, that will be the shorthand in their ninth champagne celebration since 2015.
Right.
I think it probably will go down as the Wade Davis signature moment.
Because the moment that stuck with me the most last night just watching it was when he came in the seventh, I immediately started thinking about the ninth and if he had it in him. Because I have all the confidence in the world in Wade Davis. But I was like, what are they going to do? My buddies and I were all texting about, like, Lackey, Wilson, Lester, Wade Davis, Leonis Martin. Like, what are you going to do?
I was thinking of the countless closers of my youth who frequently went 6 to 9 outs. I mean, I already referenced Goose Gossage, Bruce Sutter. I mean, there's just Ron Davis. There was a million of them. That was their job. Bill Caudill. I mean, Bill Campbell. These guys would come in, and maybe they'd on the year, they'd have 24 saves, 26 saves. But they'd be 7-8 outs each time. And as Davis was coming in, I mean, I did start daydreaming about Lackey and tweeting about the possibility of Lackey. But, you know, and Joe didn't address it specifically, but I got to think that in his mind, he was saying, all right, I need you. I need you for all 7. Just go ahead. And Wade Davis found that second wind in the ninth inning.
And remember, Wade Davis is not your typical closer. He was a starting pitcher in the big leagues.
Yes.
He's had multiple seasons with well over 100 innings pitched. This year is down for him compared to some of his highest relief pitching seasons.
He shouldn't
burn out quite like Chapman did.
It's not like asking Mariano Rivera to this. It's not like asking Aroldis Chapman to do what he did last year, which was get 8 outs in game 5.
Right. Now, game 1, you know what I mean, in L.A.? I don't know about that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's so important and it's so long, and I know there's one day off, but he pitched 2 days in a row and had a season high for pitches.
So you don't know about using him at all, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a chance that he won't be available.
I bet he's got an inning in him. We'll see. That dude is the cyborg, as you know.
He's amazing, but, like, just for the security of you want... I mean, think about it, man. There's a grand slam. There's a flight out east. There's a season high in pitches, 3 innings. Then there's a flight all the way across the country.
Remember, he has no blood. Just remember.
True. He is a vampire cyborg. That's true. He is a mixed.
Has that been done? Has there been a vampire cyborg movie already?
No. It's a robot that somehow feasts on human blood. It's very confusing.
Yeah.
But I think that you got to be careful with him early just to make sure that he can go the distance. Here.
Wade Davis joins Madison Bumgarner as the only pitchers to have a save of 7 or more outs in a winner-take-all postseason game since 1973. That's it. Wade Davis and Bumgarner have done what you saw last night. Bumgarner, by the way, got 15 outs.
And Bumgarner's a starter. Though.
Correct.
It's a different conversation.
Right. So yeah. No relief pitcher has ever done what Wade Davis did in an elimination game with that kind of pressure moment after moment. Even though he wasn't great, he did finish.
Your voicemails and the best of the postgame audio if you went to sleep coming up in 10 minutes, and it includes a drunken John Lester, but we'll start with Chris in Barrington. Chris, you're on the score.
Hey, Chris.
Chris.
Chris, you there, man.
Chris is gone. Let's go to John in Fox Lake. John, you're on the score.
Hey, guys. I there was a moment last night. Did you ever sit in the lazy boy chair where it's so far back that one move you make, you're going to fall off of it? Well, when Dusty Baker called for them to walk Jason Hayward, I was like, what? I'm like, is he not knowing his stats? Is he not watching this game? And then the result of it leads to that whole Javi Baez getting on base with that wild pitch strikeout review deal.
See, hold on, gentlemen. Let me respond real quick. Remember that Hayward has great numbers against Scherzer career. Great, or was it Strasburg? He's got the great numbers against.
He's got the great numbers against Strasburg.
Okay, my bad.
It's just against Strasburg.
But either way, Baez strikes out. Baez struck out.
But Hayward was so bad. I mean, it's just like, you know, and then during the post game, I don't know if it was MLB or TBS, it doesn't make a difference. They asked Mike Rizzo, the president and GM of the Nats, are you going to bring Dusty Baker back? And he's just like, yes, we got 100% confidence in this guy. Are you kidding me? I mean, hey, you know, they can do whatever they want. It's their problem. But, you know, I'd say Dusty cost them this whole series, if you ask me.
Wow.
I mean, their catcher, who's an all-star, had the worst defensive game of his life. And the Cy Young winner had the worst inning that he could possibly have. One inning, gave up 4 runs.
And the umpires blew the interference call. What should have been, not the one that LaStella got on, but when Baez hits Wieter's head in the bat, because none of them saw it, and they did the right thing. They gathered and had a little meeting about it, because you can't review it, but none of them saw it. The letter of the law says that should be a dead ball.
Well, so Jerry Lane afterwards, did you see his quotes? They're pretty spectacular.
I did not. I loved him punching Wilson Contreras, though, in the chin as he was recovering from having been hit in the face himself.
That was spectacular.
Like, it's your job, Wilson. You got to catch the ball, all right? And Wilson knew it.
He said, I believe I was protected under the rule. And then listen to the number of times he says, like, in my judgment. Backswing interference is a play where a guy is stealing or there's a play made, a runner hindering the catch. It was a wild pitch and went past him. That is no longer in that particular description in my judgment. In my judgment, the pass ball changed the whole rule around to where, in my judgment, it had nothing to do with everything. Therefore, it didn't have any effect on it in my judgment. Basically, right. He's like, I think that this is under my purview and interpretation.
Well, he's saying it didn't have anything to do with it in his judgment.
Yeah, in his judgment. He's like, so I don't think it should have been reviewable. I don't think I should.
It's not reviewable.
But he kept going on and saying, like, because the pass ball wasn't the part of the play that was interfered with, that didn't cause anything of it. Mm-hmm. It's completely up to my discretion, and I didn't think it was. He's like, we did talk about it. I did know the rule. And so, but because it's a judgment call, that is my judgment. Mm-hmm. And he said it like 100 times. But yeah, I thought that was a huge break. And obviously the actual instant replay on the back pick by Contreras at first base is a huge break as well. These breaks happen to the Cubs now, man.
Yeah.
Can't stress that enough. Now, that Hayward conversation, by the way,
sir.
Of how bad he is offensively, but how good he is defensively, that is a problem going forward.
Yes. By the way,
that is a problem.
In his career against Scherzer, Hayward is 4-for-11, so only 11 at-bats. But I actually understood that, and again, it worked with Baez. But yes, the Hayward conversation going forward, how many starts should Jason Hayward get over the weekend against Clayton Kershaw and Rich Hill? He will be on the roster. Don't go far.
No. Of course, he's going to be on the roster.
How many? You start him against either lefty?
Well, he got the start yesterday, and it was kind of surprising.
Agreed. It could have had Ian Happ.
Yeah, it was weird. We'll get to that. But coming up, the best postgame sound that includes a drunken John Lester who says he blacked out, and your voicemails from a crazy game 5. It's Spiegel and Parkins on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us, and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.